Bageltech Mac, we are a video podcast. We have got some new video stuff and we're doing it and we're using it and it's fantastic. And I've had a haircut this morning. The chat room's already given me grief over my earphone compatible haircut. There you go, see? Had it trimmed down around the lug hole so that phones can get in there. We're here to discuss all things Macintosh, joined by the able panel, the fantastic few. Mr. Don McAllister, top left, how's it going, pal?
Good afternoon. You mean this is going out as a video podcast?
You should have done your hair, mate.
Oh, God. I'd have put my black shirt and I've got a stripy shirt on. This will cause all sorts of interference on the video. Oh, never mind.
Combed your moustache.
Comb my moustache. Now, I did that yesterday, so that's okay. So we're all right. We're okay.
You had a busy week. Paris, I gather.
Yeah, I had a long weekend in I was going to say gay Paris there, but no, in Paris, yeah. And it was good. But the only thing is then cramming a week's worth of work into 3 days. But I had a big week this week as well. It's a special day for the show in that it's the first week this week where I've actually put a full set of English subtitles on the tutorial for this week. So that should help with our hard of hearing and deaf viewers. They can actually follow along by reading the subtitles. So I'm really pleased. It's gone very well. A lot of hard work. It's quite an overhead on the production side, but I think it's worth it in the long run.
Don't tell me, though, that your first video that's using subtitles for the hard of hearing is Spotify.
No.
No, that would have been a bit of a cock-up.
Yeah, no, Mail. Where is it? Lion. Mail in Lion this week.
Right, okay. How did you get that done, though? How did you get... Because I don't think you're that fast a typist.
No, I actually send it... There are some transcription services that you can send the audio away to. And actually, some of them are really quick, turn it around in like 24 hours. You have to pay for it, obviously, but... So that's what I'm using. I'm using a transcription service, and then I get back the pure text, and then there's a couple of apps that I've got that allow you to insert time code into the text file and then merge it in with the video file and then publish it.
Sounds complicated. Chatroom wants to know if that's a copy of Playboy in the background.
No, this is iCreate, I think. I hope. Yes, it is.
The Playboy was underneath it. Jolly good.
Yeah.
Next to him from the Philippines, we got Cold Boy, Carl Swagger 1G. How's it going?
Cold Boy.
Cold Boy, you had a cold last week.
Oh, Cold Boy. Oh, yeah. I completely forgot about it. Yeah, I still got a bit of sniffle, but I'm a lot better this week. I'm off the NyQuil, so I actually am aware of what's going on today. Also, I have an exclusive.
But now or later?
No. Well, it's up to you,
Okay.
It's up to you. Mm-hmm. We've all heard about the iPhone 5, so...
What?
Later.
Oh, okay, later. That's fine. The Philippines has been on holiday this week, I gather.
Yeah, we took 2 days off, too.
It's like Great Yarmouth. It shuts down after 1st of August.
Pretty much, yeah. especially when Christmas gets around.
Yeah.
But no. 3 days of work, cramming 5 days of into three was fun. But it's good week.
Excellent. Bottom right, we've got someone I don't recognize. Sorry. Who are you?
Honestly, you take two whole weeks away.
Three. Then you do sod all last week.
No, that was the third week.
Are you actually going to talk this week or what?
Yeah, it wasn't 3 weeks and not paying attention. It was 2 weeks and not paying attention.
Oh, right. My mistake.
Paying attention this week.
You're undivided.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get a decent haircut for this video malarkey, aren't I?
What was your tweet earlier on about some guy flying to Johannesburg in a plane he'd made in his living room or something?
No. It was the same day, two clients. One client was he's a long-haul pilot for Virgin, and in his spare time, he built an aeroplane in his garage, and then he flew it solo.
How big's his frigging garage?
Well, plane size, I would guess.
Gee, that's got to be a double at least, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Maybe an inspection pit as well and some lights. Pretty big garage.
Driveway? So he built... What a driveway.
Long, yes. Heads down, family. Dad's taking off. So he holds the world record solo flight in a single engine plane from London to Cape Town. So that was good.
I bet his kids are proud.
Yes, I'm sure.
Next.
And then on the same day, it was... the chap tried to put the platters from his hard drive into the optical drive of his Mac because someone told him they were the same as DVDs.
Oh, dear. Not quite, then.
No.
The chat room wants to know if Don's copy of Playboy lies unread and his copy of iCreate has several pages that are stuck together.
No. They're all...
I don't feel the need to prove it, Don. It's okay. We don't believe it for a second. next to him, the chat room is very happy that you've been out and looked for a job interview, Will, because they're thinking that you'll be able to have 50p for your meter for your lights now.
Yes, well, I'm working from home this afternoon.
In the dark.
I'm not at the studio. So the truth is, the light, actually, the real light bulb went about 7 months ago. The light fit in, and I just not got round to changing it yet. And I get such grief off my wife at night. Like this for 7 months. 7 months. Honestly, love, this weekend I'll do it. I'll be on to it. No problems. It'll be all done.
It's all right. Don't feel bad, mate. I've had my father-in-law's tap spanner for 8 years, and I still haven't tightened the tap. So
I reckon it makes it romantic anyway. And also, when you get to a certain age, dim lighting in the bedroom it has its plus points.
not for when you go outside afterwards, it's not. No. The Week in Apple. We've had some people have been buying wooden blackboards in car parks, wrapped in plastic, swearing blind that they're iPads. We've had a woman sued a firm over an Apple or a laptop tracking thing that's caught some pictures of her in the nude that we used in court. Steve Jobs' biological father wants to get in touch.
Bet he does.
Imagine that.
I bet so, yeah, imagine. But he says he's not making the first move, apparently. They've killed the Financial Times app, as well as. And Apple have managed to lose, allegedly, another phone in a bar.
And I've got it.
You've got it?
Yeah, right here.
You've actually got it. Now, I mean, this morning, should we start with that story? Because that's quite
enough. I'm telling you, right here.
Go on, show us a second.
What is going to be the new.
That's a Motorola Razr V3, dude.
No. Now, the article is completely misquoted. They said $200. No, it was £200 is what it was.
What are you talking about?
It's going to be the first Apple flip phone. It's going to be we all thought it was going to be a 5-point-inch screen, but actually it's just going to be a 0.5-inch screen.
Have you got a Motorola StarTAC under there that you swear implies the next iPad?
No, I did see it this week, and I thought I'd make a joke out of it, but it didn't work very well. So I was actually going to say that I bought it from you because it was in pounds.
It was in pounds, right? So Apple have lost another phone, but CNET say it's definitely happened. They've talked to the police. Everyone else has done the diligent thing and talked to the police, and the police go, "What? No?" And apparently, investigators have been round and offered a no questions asked money to reward for the person that allegedly had it. And he swore blind he didn't have it. And their tracking services tracked it down to his apartment, but it's not in the apartment, even after a police search. So, has there any been further developments? Did the phone go missing or not?
Was he there?
He was at the bar. He was definitely at the bar. And he was definitely at his home when they searched it because he gave him permission. They didn't have a warrant.
And we heard it was, sold on Craigslist, correct?
No, they can't find the phone, and everyone's saying that CNET's story is utter bunkum.
Really, because I actually heard this week that, yes, they'd lost it in the bar, somebody got it at the bar, denied that they had it, and then the phone actually turned up for sale for $200 on Craigslist.
I'd question that myself. I mean, if he was in the flat, and they searched the whole flat, and he was there, and he was still pinging away... Where was it hidden, I wonder?
Well, he let the police in. He let them look around, swore blind he knew nothing about it, and they couldn't find it. So
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying?
Was he sitting up? Was he sitting down or standing up?
He was sitting down the whole time, I'm sure, all with his legs very wide apart.
No, it's not under this cushion. No.
Did they do a full cavity search?
Storm in the chat room said, iPhone walks into a bar, barman says, get lost. I like that one.
It happened again, though. I mean, it all sounds a bit similar to the first. Do you think they're just making it up? Or, I mean, if you did have a phone, you'd really, you know, following all the debacle last time around, you'd sort of, you know, you'd keep hold of it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't lose it, for goodness sake.
Well, you'd be unless like a change. Unless you were drugged. Rohypnol.
Yeah.
Or drunk.
The thing is, the guy that was drugged probably thought he was going to get laid. But actually, then he ended up just sticking his phone.
you kind of wonder how many of these phones are knocking about. Because we hear this, okay, that one got lost before and one got lost now in a bar, which sort of makes sense if you had a few beers. But you never know, there might be hundreds or at least 100 out with guys who are going to be in their 20s because that's what they are. You know, young developers are the talented ones and they think quicker than older people. So is it that unbelievable? I don't think so.
Did you see the pictures of the alleged iPhone 5 cases? It got confidential stamped across it, and I can't think whether Apple wouldn't have a picture of phones that was taken with blurry cam and then stamp confidential across it.
So, no, it'd say top secret.
But really? But yeah. They were iPhone 4 surrounds, weren't they?
Did you see the graphic that Apple released, which was some instructions? I can't remember what application it was for, but it was like an orange graphic that had an iPhone, a Mac, and something else. And the actual iPhone symbol, even though it's a very tiny icon, actually didn't look like a normal iPhone. It looked like a slightly taller, larger screen with thin bezels top and bottom. And that caused a bit of consternation because that was actually from Apple themselves, whether or not they jumped the gun at doing this tiny graphic of perhaps the next iPhone.
Yeah, I saw that, and he had an oval.
An oval home button at the bottom.
At the bottom. It wasn't round anymore, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that to try and create the opportunity to sue Samsung even further?
It could have been, couldn't it?
They're gonna say that it's their copyright, even though they did it after. Did you see Samsung's offering yesterday at IFA? I mean, it's not Apple news, I know, but it's going to hit Apple because they look like they got something that was really special.
Tell me more.
The Note running Honeycomb. It's a little tiny 5-inch screen, and it's like a it looks really, really good. Looks really, really nice. Just that little bit bigger. So I mean, I think that the iPhone 5 has got to go to a bigger screen because then it'd be perfect. I don't mind the extra size. And then they'd released a tablet at 7.7 inches as well as, which obviously Apple aren't going to be able to sue them for that on the iPad because they haven't got anything at that size. So
how many screen resolutions have they got now, Samsung? They must have like at least half a dozen. It must be a nightmare to develop for.
I can definitely tell you four because they've got the Galaxy, the Note, the 7 and the 10, haven't they? 10.1. Have they got one in at 9? I don't think they have.
Yeah.
Isn't there this resolution independency thing going on? Or is that?
Well, you think they've done the same kind of thing as Apple? They've created this opportunity for multiple resolutions?
I think so. I think you can't expect a developer to develop, you know, 6 different applications to go across all their different scales of phones, can you? So, I would think that would make sense.
Apple still hasn't gone down that route yet, although they're working towards it. I mean, they still have to supply different resolutions of images and stuff for the iPhone and for the older iPhone.
No, it was interesting. IFA looked pretty good yesterday. There was a whole load of tablets released. I mean, if Apple have really got dominance, there's no one stopping anyone coming out. Vizio released one, Lenovo released one, Toshiba had one out, Samsung had one out, and there was lots of laptops, very Air-like coming out. Samsung had an Air style of laptop with black keys on it that looked exactly the same layout as the MacBook Air. It was very nice. There was an awful lot of stuff that looked really, really good yesterday. But it's all running Android or it's all running Windows. So,
yeah, and it doesn't have the apps. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's what I don't know if it was at the Bagel Tech blog site or something. I seen you tweet something about this week, Ewan, about how we're tied to the apps and we keep coming back for the apps. I mean, I think that's one reason why Apple has done so well since the first generation iPhone. We are really tied to our apps and. That's what was my deciding factor from either going to, a Google a Nexus S at the time, or getting an iPhone 4. It was the apps, and I guess at the end of the day, the screen too on the iPhone 4. But to me, that's where Apple is dominant at right now. It's the aftermarket. It's the checkout counter.
Yeah, but the difference is, mate, that. I mean, I sat and worked out the other day. I'd probably spent about 300 quid on apps. But you haven't spent anything on apps. So why are you tied to it?
That was a quiet day for you, Ewan.
because there is an application.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? Yeah.
There's an application that scares the crap out of you. You download it and it tells you how many apps you've bought. It uses some sort of API with the iTunes store and it tells you how many apps you've bought and how much you've paid for them. And it scares the living daylights out of you because those little £1.49s and £2.99s and 59p's, they bloody add up, I'm telling you. And I'd spent more than 300 quid on apps just for the iPhone. Forget about App Store on the computer.
Oh, yeah, the App Store on the computer thing, it's terrible, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's 37 quid for Motion straight away, 26 quid for Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Those turn it up as well.
Final Cut,
I'd still
200 quid.
Yeah, I was going to say, with Final Cut, though, I'd rather spend it through the App Store than and get the newly released this week $999 version they caved in on.
Well, today, you can now buy Final Cut Pro 7, if you want, in a box, just like you used to be able to, from the App Store, from the Apple Store, and it's going to cost you $1,000. Why on earth have Apple done this?
That's amazing, isn't it?
Well, there's no way Steve Jobs would have let that happen, surely.
I've got a copy, 500 quid. It's yours.
I mean, Will, you've gone, and Don as well, you've gone from Final Cut Pro 7 to Final Cut Pro 10. Mm-hmm. And is there anything that makes you go, oh, actually, no, I really want to go back?
Well, I still use Final Cut Pro 7 for most of my editing. I mean, I'm using Final Cut Pro 10 for some smaller projects. You know, when I do the trailers and stuff, I'll use Final Cut Pro 10. But my workflow is so ingrained in Final Cut Pro 7 that unless there's some real benefits to me using it, you know, I'm not in the position to actually use it as of yet. And the main thing that stops me is support for some of the codecs that I'm used to, like the animation codec and stuff for the screencasts. And also, I do collaborate with other people. I get other people to do some of the editing for me. So transferring files to them and bringing it back into the final project, I still have to use Final Cut Pro 7.
Mm. You're so flash, Don.
Pardon?
You're so flash. You get other people to edit it. Yeah, so when I finish, obviously, being the talent, I wouldn't want to dirty my hands with the editing process and my minions.
It just speeds things up. Otherwise, I'd never be able to do a show every week and do all the other things I want to do and do me subtitles now as well. So that takes another half a day out of the week. So, it's all to speed up the process.
The other thing is that we've got a reverse auction going on now because Mark Dalton's offering me his copy, Will, for £499. So what have you got to say to that, mate?
£498,
there we go. It's in £498 with the man in the darkness.
Mark, do we hear £497? Mark, do we? £497.
Why don't you leap, mate? Leap ahead. That's the problem with the delay now. This is crap audio because I'm waiting for Mark to vote. Swain, who's a freelance videographer, says that Final Cut Pro 10 is perfect. There's no point. The only issue I've got with Final Cut Pro 10 is the crackling audio, but there's a workaround with that, says Storm. Is crackling audio, isn't that clock speed?
Sample rates, I think, probably.
Sample rates. If you change clock speeds and sample rates, that might help it, because that's the problem I had with the old Tascam desk. That's why I've gone back to analog, because it was crap.
Mind you, they did say, just going back to Final Cut Pro, they did say that it's an end of, they've got some spare stock that's selling off. A limited quantity of Final Cut Studio still available. It's just through telesales as well, so you can't actually get it through retail store or anything.
Right.
So it might be worth it. People do want to, I mean, there are studios that might want a couple of extra licenses, so now it's just an opportunity for them to, if they've decided they're not going to go down the Final Cut Pro 10 route, they can just go and get a couple of extra licenses now and keep them.
Mark's opted out of the auction. He says, nah, stuff it. I'm going to wait another month and sell it for a grand. Now he's found out there's a limited stock. That's the end of it.
I'm excited about Logic 10. That's what I keep looking. Rumours everywhere. I just cannot see anything about Logic 10. It must be around the corner.
Well, I mean, think about it logically. I mean, was the renewal of 9?
No pun intended.
Okay, yeah, sorry, excuse that. What was the last update? 18 months ago?
Yeah, but they tend to have like a two-year cycle with Logic.
Well, because, Will, I know for a fact that you were at the Apple Store, so that's got to be 2 years.
Yes.
Because you and I talked about it.
Yes.
And you said, don't bother.
Yeah, I did, and I stick with that. The thing is, in my position, it's a real pain in the ass because I'm dual-booting my Mac running Leopard, Snow Leopard and Lion, so I can just run Logic 8. Because I'm not going to buy Logic 9 because you know Logic 10 is going to be out any moment. And it's a real pain in the bum. One piece of advice I would say, if you've got Logic 8 and you install Lion with a little hack, you can make it work. But if you do a fresh install of Lion and try and install Logic 8, they won't have it.
That day I was out with you, even though I was drunk, I did say I wouldn't take it off because if you take it off, you probably won't get it back on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, my MacBook Pro was behaving like a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still behaving like a dog. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. I think I've got a hardware problem with the bloody thing. 2 grand this little chap cost me.
Yeah, Don, can you give it? Can you do a screencast online for bleeping in iMovie? Because I think I'm going to need it in the coming weeks.
Okay.
Well done, Will. You get an extra token there for restraint.
My mum was complaining about my Twitters.
Really?
Yeah, she came around yesterday. John, about my Twitters. Because
have you been a very naughty boy?
Well, they suddenly discovered Twitter. And she said, you swear too much, William. I said, well, only in a fun way, I think. And no, you do. You swear. You don't talk to me like that. I said, well, no, Mum, I don't talk to you like that.
Of course I frigging don't. Does your mother really call you William?
Yes. Oh, yes, she does, William.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't that upset you?
No, not really. It's my mum, you know, so it's just the way it is. I did a tweet about pigeons.
Because did the dog spew in the end or not?
No, it was a different tweet. He didn't, actually. No, it was all kept in. And his homing instincts have improved wonderfully, so that's all good.
He hasn't run off yet.
Well, he has, but he keeps coming back.
Storm in the chat room says he's sorry to interrupt, but what do we reckon to Harpic Power Plus? Because that seems to be the advert of the day on Ustream. But apparently Paul says bleach is far better. So we'll have to get... We need a casting vote on that one then.
I just had to restrain myself then. I know you said not a lot, but I thought, no.
We're looking forward to the talk. Now, while we've got to not a lot, and we've got the link, thank you for the segue, it's the Liverpool tweet-up, 16th, 17th of September, so it's only a week and a bit away, and Mark Dalton's asked me to mention it, and because it's the next live event, Don, you will be doing your live impersonation of Will Green, won't you?
That's a point, yeah. I better get working on it, hadn't I?
The thing is, the only thing you've got to be careful of, mate, you can't say it's an impersonation if all you do is come out with a stream of expletives.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
That was the fallback position. That was plan B.
Proper stuff. Storm also reckons in the chat room, if we're going to get Logic 10 in the next few months, how much? That's a good question. I like that one.
$998.
What, via Mac App Store?
No, not my Mac App Store. It'd be $198.
$198. So that's going to be 160 quid. What do we reckon?
That's right. The same price range as Final Cut Pro 10, I would think.
That'd be really cool, wouldn't it?
I think it would be cheaper, and they'll split it off like they did with the other stuff. Traditionally, Logic's always been a bit cheaper than Final Cut, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, how many people actually bother to use Mainstage or Compressor or any of the nodes and stuff like that? I mean, it's
Mainstage is rubbish.
So is Logic, I mean, I've never used Logic, so I don't know how it's come back, but is that like a studio of products again, is it?
Or it's
is
audio.
It's a collection of products to do with audio, or is it just like a single product?
Well, you've
Pro Tools, Cubase.
Right.
It's a similar kind of product, but the actual componentry of it is it's got a compressor in it, it's got Soundwave in it, which is a kind of a light version, if you like, of it's called Soundwave's closer to Audacity, I would have said, than anything else.
Right.
And then you've got Logic, the main program, which is your multi-track recording with FX, and you've got Jam Packs and what's the other one? Audio content that you can use free, royalty-free stuff. But then you've got a thing called Mainstage on it, which is for live processing, and there's Logic Node on it.
They might actually split it up then, mightn't they, into two or three different components and price it just like Final Cut Pro 10 and Motion and Compressor.
Well, I've never used Mainstage. Will says it's crap, and I don't even know what Node does. So. Right.
Oh, Node's... Node is... So if you've got multiple Macs... And you're doing some serious audio work, you can sort of cluster them, you know, so share the processing over the multiple Macs.
Oh, that'd be useful if I was doing that, but I'm not. So
no, I have used it, and it's a bit dicey, so I wouldn't recommend it. I think that what sort of in the industry they say for sort of spoken word stuff, it's Pro Tools, and for music stuff, it's Logic. That's the way the BBC look at it anyway.
Mm.
But so maybe with the next version, I mean, the last version, Logic 9, the only real difference was the stuff for crappy guitarists, wasn't it? I mean, who cares about them? I don't care about them.
Yeah, there was the guitar stuff, but there was also the input-output change as well, because one thing that 8 really suffered with was you couldn't assign a separated input and output unless you used, what do you call it? The thing that you get from utilities.
Oh,
audio MIDI setup thingy, and make an aggregate device.
Aggregate, that's
right. but which was crap, really. I mean, you should be able to at least do an input and output channel separately, which you can do in 9, which was well worth it for me, because it's when we wouldn't be running today without a separated input and output channel. So,
are you sticking your finger up at the camera? Yeah.
I did a one finger, but it was not the bird finger. It was the picket finger. There you go. Sorry, Logic guitar processing is rubbish as well.
Russ is right in the chat room, though. I have to say that editing in Logic, I don't really like that. And I also do consider Pro Tools very, very much music industry based as well. I mean, as far as I can always remember, I've always seen Pro Tools on machines all my life, actually. And Cubase, not so much. I think Cubase is definitely more for... and even Logic. I've always felt that Logic and Cubase kind of seem to fit in the same category for really the home pro studio, shall we say. But as far as anything, I've always been very, very happy with Pro Tools myself.
Mm. I mean, I use Logic and I love it. I mean, I've had a few lessons thanks to Will and a few of the others up at the Apple store in Salil when I first got it. But I use it really, really well. I love it. I love the filters. I love the add-ons and that kind of stuff. And I've got better and better at it over the years. So I'd be a bit lost without it. I mean, I could leap to Audacity. And I think Audacity with some of the new plugins actually does very close to what Logic will do in terms of recording and processing. It's only things like the additional jam pack content that you don't get. But that's the lenses, mate. You see right there, isn't it? That's the apps and the lenses that keeps you tied in. It's that jam pack.
Audacity is great because it's free.
Because it's free. Yeah, there we go. You're very quiet, Andrew. You all right, mate?
Yeah, no, fine. I actually know very little about the whole Logic jam pack malarkey and things. Yeah. So.
Same here. So that's why I'm keeping quiet as well.
I do have one, though, for you. Not to reopen an old can of worms, but this thing, I've been looking on the internet, this thing about Apple re-looking at USB 3. Now, I know you hate USB 3 and Intel with a passion.
No.
But it looks like...
Hang on.
Was it USB 2? You were saying that they refusing to implement it on their chip.
My point was that Intel had got Lightpeak as a technology. They knew USB 3 was coming and refused to integrate it onto their motherboards, which would have given them a commercial advantage. It was clearly leveraging the market. But I don't hate either of them, and I'd love to see USB 3 get in. But you're going to tell us that USB 3 may be coming to Mac?
Yes, I was just reading this. They're saying that the price of the controllers for USB 3 for the laptops has dropped to about $2 per controller, and Apple is saying, "Oh, hang on a minute, we could put USB 3 on a laptop."
Yeah, I mean, the USB 3 would be cool, because if you've got a USB port anyway, then making it 3 probably can't be that much harder. I mean, would it be something that would make it an essential purchase for us, or is it something Apple can't avoid anymore, or do you think they're going to just carry on and soldier on with Lightpeak and screw everyone else, which seems to be the Jobs way, but Jobs is gone.
It's like a weird thing. I mean, would anyone even notice that USB 3 was on their computer? I don't think they even would, really, would they?
Well, yeah, because it'd be blue. The little tab would be blue instead of white. That seems to be the norm now, doesn't it?
Yeah, but in day-to-day operation, I think they probably just... It's not really it's not going to capture the imagination in terms of launching new product.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see it myself. I think they've firmly gone down the Thunderbolt path, and it would be really unusual for them to do an about turn and include Thunderbolt and USB 3, because that would then dilute, it would then, in the chat room, Storms actually said dilute as well. It would just, it would really take the push off peripheral makers sort of coming forward with the Thunderbolt enabled stuff. I think it would be a divisive move for Apple. It would actually take some of the focus off Thunderbolt, and I can't see it myself.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought they would have kept it if they hadn't killed the MacBook. They might have implemented it, but without the MacBook, then no.
Yeah. Go on, Carl.
Honestly, I think they will. And there's two reasons why I think they will. One's called the iPhone, one's called the iPad. And I think when we start seeing these things, in their next integrations, when they do come out, I see them being USB 3.0. Just because, you want to hit that market also on the Windows side as well. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. I mean, to me, it'd be easy to go back in on the motherboard. I think if you want Thunderbolt, it'll probably just give you great performance as well. It gives you the option as a consumer. And like we said, with Jobs gone and Tim in the driver's seat now, I look at Apple to becoming more and more and more this consumer-based company than we really ever seen with Jobs. I definitely think it's going to happen.
Yeah, they've still got the what would Steve do culture, which they're going to keep for quite a while. Yeah, and again with the new iOS devices, I mean the pushing towards wireless syncing. So I mean when Thunderbolt first came out, I always thought, oh well, that'll be nice for an iOS device. But now they've actually embraced the wireless thing, and you can update software updates, you can sync your music with iTunes wirelessly now. So you know there'd be no real reason, especially on the iOS side, to go with a USB 3 connection.
They could do that as a board game, couldn't they? They call what would Steve do?
Yeah,
you pick a card and
no, you get a bangle, don't you?
there's an app for that.
What's the forfeit?
I'm thinking more Trivial Pursuit-y style thing. No, you have to choose idea, between USB 3 and whatever the other one's called. What would Steve do? What would Steve do is probably rename USB 3 to Lightning Strike or something along those lines. and whack it in the... Have you noticed that they've rebranded the cinema display to become Thunderbolt display now? They've changed the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've just done a quick thing in the chat room saying chat room poll, you know, USB 3.0, yes or no. I've got two yeses so far, one no. But CyberPaul says, I can't find a Thunderbolt device that I want or that I can afford. And there's the real problem, isn't it? Don saying no, thanks, mate, for joining in the chat room rather than the podcast. Swain says no, thanks. I mean, Kyle says yes, thanks, dude. Surely the balance point here is the fact that, as Don says, you know, if Windows is going towards USB 3, then that's the bigger market still. So Apple are still a minority in that sense. And also the fact is, if Apple actually, would they ever get to the point where they'd say, I tell you what, we're not going to make the iPad a USB charging device anymore. You've got to use Thunderbolt for connectivity to try and force people to go and buy Macs. And then you're kind of verging on, A, you'll kill your market, but also, B, you'll attract the influence of monopolies and mergers and the Department of Justice. So, in the States, no? Okay, no problem.
I say it again. That went a bit fast for me, I've got to be honest.
Can I go get my law book, please, first, please?
No, I stuffed a lot of you.
Yeah, but don't forget that we still haven't, very few people have actually used a Thunderbolt device because there aren't that many out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Victor from the Typical Mac User, he got one of the review units for the RAID array thing that they've got, and it just actually blew him away. The speed was phenomenal. And, you know, eventually they'll come down in price. We'll end up with, you know, single drive. I mean, currently, you know, they're looking at the pro-end gear now, so it's all RAID stuff on Thunderbolt. But eventually we'll get Thunderbolt-enabled single drives. And, you know, with a daisy chain port so you can link up another Thunderbolt device to it. And, you know, when we see the performance and they bring the cost down, you know, you'll wonder why, you know, how we ever managed to get by with FireWire and USB. But, you know, to bring USB 3 into the equation at this point, and I think Apple wouldn't want to go down that route.
Mm. Interesting.
Mm. Okay, there's another thing, which is not technical, but I thought it was really interesting because I missed out on last week because I was dead to the world and nobody was talking about like Apple after Steve and, you know, how it might go. And I read this blog by this chap and it was really quite interesting. And he was saying that we won't know for years and years whether, you know, Apple can cope without Steve because, you know, a room full of zombies could execute the game plan that Steve has in place for the product. But he did say, and I thought it was quite interesting, that a company's advertising is much shorter term than their product line. And the way to look at whether Apple is going post-Steve is to look at whether they start cocking up their advertising. Because, as he pointed out, Steve Jobs wasn't just a technologist and a head of Apple, but he's actually one of the best advertising guys in the business.
Mm.
And he's personally responsible for all of Apple's advertising and the branding. And, you know, the agency that he worked with are, you know, soulmates with him as much as Johnny Ive is on the product. But advertising has a very short turnaround. And this chap was saying, I buy into it. I think, look to Apple's advertising. If their advertising starts to lose focus, if they start to cock up on the branding on advertising, then that proves that the yes men and the sort of bureaucrats and the rest of the board are coming out of the woodwork. And it seemed like a really shortcut way to look at that. Discuss, as they say.
Mm. I think as most of our incomes rely on the the success and profitability of Apple, I think we shouldn't mention anything negative towards them and say, actually, there's going to be absolutely no problem at all.
Will, what the hell have you put on top of your mic? Is that a toupee?
It's a hairpin. Well, because I'm working from home, I put my microphone in my wife's drawers, and I've been digging around, and I found some sort of hairpiece, which is rather nice, isn't it? I thought it might act as a... I haven't got a...
This is your wife's hairpiece. Either that, or she's shagging a ball bloke.
I haven't got a pop shield here, so I thought, well, if I put the hairpiece on the microphone, it might act as a pop shield.
You found a toupee in your wife's drawer. Are you going to get a DNA test come September when the baby's born?
It's not a very big one. It's, you know, when they want to do their hair in a bun or whatever, at the back.
Oh, right, so it's definitely your wife's.
Yeah, I could put a couple of eyes on it. It's rather nice, isn't it?
I could spot my wife's toupee at 20 yards, no question.
Well, anyway, there we are.
Chat room wants to discuss the abortive attempt to update iOS 5 for the developers to beta 7. But they're all scared of the NDA, so they're not going to put any comments in, but I don't care. I came down to a bricked iPhone yesterday, and that was fantastic because I had to drive all the way to Southampton with nothing to listen to. And then when I got there, I had to download the new beta, download iTunes, update it all, reinstall it, and try and put something on for the journey home. I came down to a bricked iPhone, and I got 12 emails yesterday from anonymous developers, unquote, who said that they came down to a bricked iPhone.
You could have talked all the way down, you'd be listening to Bagel Tech, wouldn't you?
What do you mean?
Well, you had nothing to listen to, but if you'd have talked to yourself all the way down about Mac and stuff like that, you could have done like a virtual Bagel Tech as you drove along.
I could, yeah. There'd be nothing to record it on.
No, but you listened to it yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, so it would have just been lost to the... It would have been a classic, lost in time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The elusive Bagel Tech episodes lost in Ewan's car.
Have you been drinking?
I haven't, actually. Well, not yet. I bought myself a glass of wine, and I've just got back, and I've had a very exciting morning, and so I deserve it.
Okay. Don, did you get any troubles?
If I actually had access to iOS 5 beta 7 and I installed it and I had no problems, I wouldn't have any problems, and I didn't.
Right. Okay. You understand what that means? I get that.
In other words, no, I was surprised to hear you had a problem with the brick phone, to be honest, because that was the first I'd heard of any particular problems, and that was the only instance I'd heard, to be honest.
So. But basically, I came down and the phone was waiting to be activated. And it wouldn't let me activate it over the air, and I didn't have time because I had to leave early in the morning to go down south, so I had to take it with me. But it had attempted, it would appear, to update by itself overnight without my intervention.
It shouldn't do that, and I've never seen one do that before. You have to, if an update comes through, you physically have to select it, even the wireless, you know, you have to go in and...
No, you see, that's the thing. Is beta 6, it updated automatically without me doing it, and beta 7 tried to update last night without me doing it, the night before last. So, I was on 6. I was on 6, and it went to 7. And I'm probably not allowed to talk about it, but they cocked it up. And then iTunes, when you installed it, the build 7 for iTunes actually lost me library. It detached the association, so I had to start again and reload everything onto it. So it was a bit of a cock up. I wasn't an Apple fanboy yesterday. I've had email, by the way. Because I've been giving Apple a bit of a hard time in recent weeks. I had someone wrote to me and told me that they took no pleasure in writing it because they enjoyed what I did with Bagel Tech, but they were disappointed at my stance on Apple. And it was like I was going to get a dishonourable discharge. I was going to have my lapels cut off.
But it's all the moaning that you did last week. You see, that's what Apple have targeted.
I know.
Hey, see that guy there?
The fanboys hate me, but the problem is I've also got an email about an hour afterwards saying that they're not going to listen to the network anymore because it's too Mac-oriented and I don't give Windows a fair shot. I feel like a transvestite.
Do you do a Windows one?
We don't do a Windows podcast now because I don't know anything about it. So we need someone who knows something about Windows to do it. Carl, you should do that.
Yeah, I should do that. Yeah, I do know. I started life out on a Windows machine, and you know, it's funny about the funny thing about Windows, and I think particularly Windows 7, it is a good operating system. It's the best one they put out since XP, probably their best one since they put out Windows 2000. I still love Mac. I still think it's much easier to use. I still think it's prettier. But when you get right underneath it, and what you really need to do, either machine's going to work for you. I think there used to be a time where if you want to do this, you've got to have a Mac. If you wanted to do video, if you wanted to do music, you've got to have a Mac. It was just the way to go. And then I think nowadays we've gotten to a point now where we can do both on either platform. Mm. It's just about more of what is easier, what you like. And I just always believe that Mac, probably because it is a little bit more restricted, makes things a little bit easier.
It's a touch more component oriented, isn't it?
The thing is, though, with Windows, and I used to think this when I started with Screencast Online as a Mac video tutorial podcast, I thought, well, would it be worth me actually doing some Windows ones? And to be honest, I don't think the audience is there for there are literally hundreds and hundreds of Mac podcasts, but you know, relatively few Windows podcasts, because I don't think that Windows users have the same amount of engagement or the same the same feeling of community that Mac users do. So I don't actually think that, although obviously Leo has the his Windows show, but compared to the Mac shows, you know, I don't think the audience is there, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Kevin in the chat room saying that Carl does look like Paul Theroux. So maybe that would do. Mm-hmm. Steve is telling me that I'm forgiven as long as I say 1,000 Hail Steves, which is very good. But I think there was an interesting article about people buying phones, cell phones, and it was saying that anyone that buys an iPhone buys the iPhone, whereas people who end up with Android devices are buying a phone and get an Android device almost by default. So the engagement and the desire that is there with iOS devices, but not there with Android or Windows Mango and that kind of stuff. It's they walked in, they liked the look of it, they bought it, and it happened to be running that OS, which is a good point.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Any other news we fancy talking about? Because there's been quite a bit this week. It's not been bad at all, has it? September's
here. September's upon us, and I actually do somewhat have an exclusive view, and I wasn't really kidding. I'm hearing iPhone 5, coming out October, we're going to see something announced this month. It will have a 5-inch screen. That's all I can say.
So you've got this from a source?
A source that I know inside Apple.
Down the market? No, in the Philippines? No? In the fruit and vegetable?
No. This comes out of San Francisco.
Right, so this is from inside the campus at Apple. There's definitely iOS 5. It's definitely coming October. It'll be announced this month, and it's going to be a 5-inch screen.
Yep, I've heard either 4.9 or 5-inch. So, but I'm guessing they're going to call it 5-inch because with the whole thing
5.55. See, I told you last week, mate.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ask McAllister about his 7th of September. We're getting a bit close to that, aren't we?
Wouldn't to coincide with Scorpio? Don, when are you allowing invitations to be sent out for this event then at Yerba Buena Center?
I think Carl's got it spot on. I think it was a month out. I still think it'll be announced in September, but it won't be released till October. Yep. But I mean, the date, I just, you know, it was just a date that we thought of a couple of months ago. So also I think the date I chose is a holiday over in the States, so it definitely wasn't going to happen on that date anyway. So I think towards the end of the month we'll see something, and then it'll be out in October.
Hmm.
Mm. And iTunes is going to be kind of based around this too. So, and we had that kind of come out this week too, the iTunes match.
Well, apparently it's not working out. iStream match has been reportedly removed from iOS 5 beta 7.
No, they've according to the reports, they've removed the streaming capability. So, yeah. Because I think in the previous beta you could actually stream, and there was a lot of discussion as to whether or not Apple was saying it's not a streaming service yet people could actually stream. But they've taken that out of the latest beta, I believe. So it is just like a download service now.
Mm. Right. Yeah. But it's going to have a little bit of a theme around that. I mean, that's basically that's all I know. But I did hear that this week, and I thought I would pass it along.
Yeah, it's going to be a big month, though, isn't it? Because we've got the phone, we've got iCloud, we've got the iTunes Match stuff. So there's, you know, I can imagine it's going to be quite a big event, really, when they do announce all this stuff.
Any other hardware coming, do we think?
No. Actually, the funny thing is, I got a catalog from Tesco through the door, because they're now selling the entire range of Apple stuff. And inside there, there's a little two-page thing, what's coming down the track. And they were completely off the mark, I think, they've put down the iPad 3, they think will be out in the next month or two. I think, where did they get that from?
I can't see that.
That's a bit weird, yeah. So that's definitely not till next year.
There's no rumours around that either, though.
No. It's very strange.
There was about 3 months ago, but certainly in the last month, there's been no rumors about three.
It is just, they're going to focus on the iPhone, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for a 1 terabyte iPod. That'd be cool.
An iPod Touch with 1 terabyte on it.
That's right. That'd be awesome. And then I could put all FLAC on it.
Any room for a 3G card for connectivity?
That would be cool, though. You had a good idea about putting a 3G slot in a iPod Touch. I mean, in a sense, you've got a portable small iPad then. That would be cool.
Well, it wasn't my idea. I mean, it was kind of my rationalization, if you like, because when we did the bash, there was a rumor kicking around that week about the fact that they were going to put a 3G card in an iPod Touch to make it into a phone. And everyone's going, well, that would just be an iPhone. Why bother doing that? And it was me then when I thought, well, hang on, what's the logical if that's not the case, but it is actually going to happen? Well, you know, and always on data connectivity. So they're trying to hit the Amazon market and try and almost preempt the data connectivity of the Kindle, and then maybe getting into an Amazon tablet if that's definitely coming in 2012, which again is apparently a rumor this week that it's definitely coming.
Yeah, and besides, they've already done it. The iPad is, you know, with the 3G on it. They've already done it. You know, it's just a big phone then, isn't it? Without a speaker and without a dialing mechanism, but it still has data. That.
Would they give it away with SIMs, or would you end up getting a package, do you think, though?
Both ways. You could go off contract, or you could have it with a plan, but I think it would be... Well, that's a good point. Maybe they would give you a SIM with it, and it's up to you. With
built-in SIM, and then you just had to sign up for a pay-as-you-go service or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, AT&T have cautioned their employees something big is coming in September, but AT&T would be used for that, as well as an iPhone 5, but... I got to say, I didn't think iPhone 5 was due for another 3 or 4 months, maybe February, because it's they only did it a year ago. So, same event last year was iPhone 4, wasn't it? It's only a year old.
Yeah.
Too many people will still be in data plans.
October, baby.
Anyone tempted to go and get a 3 this morning down at Carphone Warehouse? SIM free, £69.
No.
An HP Pre 3. They're available with WebOS. They're available at Carphone Warehouse this morning, £69.
Really?
That's good, isn't it?
Mm.
Can you get them online?
You could get... They're online, but you can only sign up for a data plan. And the data plan, there was a 2-year data plan for £149 for the phone, plus £22.50 a month for... I think you got 500 minutes, 500 texts, and 256 megabytes of data. And that was it. And the phone was £149 purchase price when you can actually buy it SIM free for £69. So whether that plan's gone out the window or not, I don't know. But that was the story last night.
I still want a touchpad.
Well, a lot of people do, but I think Amber MacArthur made a good point on the Big Show a year ago. She came on when this India touchpad at $35 was being rumoured. And she said, well, what are you going to do with this thing after you buy it? You're going to buy it, you're going to play with it, you're going to realise it's not as good, you're going to stick it in a drawer, and then it's going to go in a landfill somewhere. Mm. And the last thing that the planet needs is more electronic devices in landfill. And it's a really good point. You know, you go and buy one of these things, you'll have a play with it, but actually a week later you'll shove it in a drawer or give it to the kids to play with as a pretend phone. So,
yeah, did anyone get the HP touchpad when they were selling them off at fire sale price?
I tried briefly, but then I gave up, and I thought back to Amber's comment, and I thought, no, I won't bother.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to get one just to try it, but then I thought, exactly what you said, you know, I'd try it, use it for a couple of hours, and then it just kept left behind, so.
Stormy in the chat room has finished off the conversation on the HP Pre by saying that's the least enjoyable 69 you'll ever get.
Well, that sums it up, doesn't it?
I think that might be a podcast title in there somewhere. The unenjoyed 69. Right, have we got any cool thingies? Don, mm-hmm. Have you got a cool thing for us?
Yes, I have. It's not new, but well, it is new because it just came out yesterday, but it's Parallels version 7 for Mac. Now, Parallels is the application that allows you to run multiple operating systems on your Mac, but the really cool thing is now that Lion is out, you're actually licensed to run two separate instances of OS X on your Mac, and we've been waiting for Parallels and VMware to come up with the goods, and they have. So with Parallels version 7, I think it's version 7, you can actually run Lion in a virtual machine. You can run Lion or Lion Server, and it's really neat the way it works. You basically, it will install Lion into a virtual machine from your recovery partition. So you don't need any disks, you don't need anything. You just install Parallels. Say you want an instance of Lion building in your virtual machine, it goes away to your recovery partition, installs it, and Bob's your uncle. It's very, very neat.
Isn't this There's a limitation within Lion when it was first pushed out, because it was prepared for virtualization, wasn't it? And it only allowed you to run one other instance.
Yeah, well, it would only allow you before Lion, with Snow Leopard, you were only licensed to run Snow Leopard server. So you could actually run Snow Leopard server in a virtual machine, but it was quite, they didn't really fully support it, I don't think. But now with Lion, they've taken away the licensing barriers, and the actual applications now will help you actually install OS X into a virtual machine on your existing OS X box. So I mean, I'm going to experiment with it. I see lots of uses for it, but it's just really good that we've got that now. And you've got all these things like, you know, snapshotting and rolling back to previous versions. If you want to experiment, you want to try something out, fire up your virtual machine, install it in there. Don't like it, just roll back, and it should be really good.
Steve in the chat room says he bought it yesterday. He's running it now, and it's superb. So instant review. Do bear in mind also, when you go and purchase it based on the strength of that Will Green did say that Plex was fantastic on his instant review. And we all know that turned out.
Nothing wrong with that. Before I forget, Don, would you say AirPlay for us?
AirPlay?
Oh.
Go on, what's up?
Because I listen, but you, I think it's the Liverpool thing. It makes me laugh. It's Europlay, isn't it? You go Europlay.
Europlay.
Yeah.
No.
I'm on my own. Oh, shut
AirPlay.
AirPlay. No, you say Europlay. Europlay.
For a man with a musical ear, you suck.
Thank you very much.
No, you didn't sound anything like Don McAllister the other week when you did an impression. And
I did.
He doesn't say that.
It could have been Don McAllister in the room.
As long as Don was pretending to be Paul Daniels, yes.
This is Don McAllister. Not a lot.
Hang on, let me... No, I closed my eyes there and it wasn't. No, bad luck. Oh. Kyle, you got a pick for us, dude?
Yeah, I do. It's an iOS app, and it's called Heytel. Do you remember the Sprint phones? Well, maybe not, because I guess I don't think they have Sprint over in the UK, but do you remember the talk, you know, the little phones like walkie-talkie phones or these kind of things? You could do, you know, clink and, you know, yeah, talk back and forth between whomever was in your contact list. Well, this is what this app essentially does. That's a push-to-talk function. It uses a very small use of data, so it doesn't hog your data, although I wouldn't use it all day, depending on your plan. You can send voice messages, really, to anybody that has the app that's in your contact list, that has the app on their phone. It works on 3G. It works on Wi-Fi. It even works on Edge. It can be even installed on the first generation iPhone. I actually have one still laying around here, and it does work on it. And I used it with a wife this week, just back and forth through the mall, and it worked great. It's just like talking in real time, back and forth like walkie-talkie. It's completely free. And I really like it. The quality of it is excellent. And it's got push notifications too, so that way if you're not using the phone or can't use it, it'll push it and say that you have a message. It's a voice message. It's quite cool.
So you say you have to hold to speak on the screen, and you've got... Right. Yeah. But have you tried Viber?
I've heard about Viber, no. I've seen this, actually, and I've seen that had a heck of a lot of reviews, so that's one reason why I tried it. And it worked really well with the Wise. Well, it's the old 3G phone, but it worked really well with that. Mm. And I didn't see it, but no, I haven't tried that. But I have a feeling they look very similar, though, don't they?
Well, Viber, you don't have to press anything. It just acts like a phone, so...
Oh, well, this you have to press.
The we chat like room,
buttons, damn it.
The chat room alert as ever have cottoned onto the fact that I've asked if your wife has tried Viber.
I'll get back to you later on that.
Damn you all. You get out of the gutter, you lot. Incredibly bad. Andrew, you've got a pick for me, but you didn't DM it. So what is it, mate?
It is a tiny little app. It's called... Tunesk, I believe it's pronounced, and it's billed as a better search for the iTunes store. It's a tiny little download, 800k. It's free, so you just download it and it boshes it into your menu bar along the top, and it gives a little search thing just like the Spotlight search, and you click on it and you type in exactly what you want, and it just does a massive live search of the store. And it'll search music, video, TV, movies, apps, podcasts, everything. You click on it and it just goes bang straight to the store, and you can download it.
How do you spell it?
You spell it tune skew. Tune skew.
I started with a CH, mate. I heard that completely differently.
I can't believe you didn't do the IT joke.
Go on.
How do you spell it?
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? It was perfect for you.
God. Yeah, God.
It was opened up for you. It
was, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
Line was fed. And finishing off there, Mr. Green, have you got anything for us?
I certainly have. Going back to quite a while ago, we did the Ghost one. What was it called? The
Ghost Hunter M2. Bloody marvellous. Useless in terms of the fact that it actually finds any ghosts, because I don't believe that for a minute. But it was a fun for the kids.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I didn't know whether to do this one or not, because as a bit of a believer in the sort of supernatural and stuff, and I don't know whether sort of promoting this app is a good thing or a bad thing, but I thought I'll do it anyway. It's called Ghost Board by the same chap. And it's like a Ouija board, and you know, be careful with this sort of stuff, just in case. So you open it up, it looks just like a Ouija board, and it uses the same sort of cunning algorithms and all the detection stuff that comes with your iPhone, and is also inbuilt in his other Ghost app. And you put your two thumbs on either side of the Ouija board, and so you don't have to use your finger on the Ouija board. It's just you put your two thumbs, and it picks up all the sensors and stuff like this. And then once it's attuned itself to the local environment and you ask questions and stuff, it comes back with answers, and the planchette moves from letter to letter and spells out words. It's pretty creepy. And I took it it was on the dog walk. I tried it a few times and nothing at all. And then I took it on another dog walk by the Abbey, which is supposed to be haunted, and nothing at all. And then I came home and I sat there and my wife saw it too, two thumbs on it, and the planchette started to move, and it went to S, and then C, R, E, A, M, I, N, G. I went, oh, my God, and it's let go. And it was very scary, really. So,
did you not think that the application itself could have been doing that?
No. Absolutely not. Well, I was, oh, my God. So it's a bit of fun. I mean, I'm taking a break from Bagel Tech for a little bit. So if I miss the October one, if you're looking to get a great Halloween application, go for this Ghost Board. It's about 59p.
Ghost is now thoroughly conversant with how to manipulate an iOS 5 application.
Well, is it iOS 5? No.
Well, your ghost has got to be able to interact with the computer. Because can't physically touch it, so it's manipulating the iOS 5 code that's inside with the application, I presume.
Well, they I'm sure they'll be all right. They can see into the future and all that, can't they, in the past? But anyway, it's great. This guy develops these applications, and he's a true believer, and he's very serious about it. So I don't want to dismiss it, just in case. You never know.
Russ in the chat room wants to know if you put your thumbs on, and it's spelt out screencasts online. I was going to have an absolutely fantastic application. I've got some guys here this morning who are fitting some security cameras up around the house, and I was going to talk about the fantastic camera system that's got an iOS application that lets you look at it in real time, but they haven't finished, they haven't set it up, and I don't know the name of the app. And I didn't prepare anything else. I did do a pick last night, which you should definitely get. If you've got a MacBook and you're thinking about putting a new drive in and stuff like that, I did this last night on the Big Show, so I'm not apologising. But Aldi have got a little tiny micro precision toolkit there with a little screwdriver, a pair of tweezers, a little extendable curvy thing for going around corners, and a whole pile of bits there that go down to T4 on the stuff, and also they do 0.7 millimeters on the hex nuts. So I thought about you, Andrew, when I bought this. I thought that would be really useful. It doesn't do the triangular ones though that you've got on the new Mac, but that's the only trouble.
All the pentalobes on the bloody phones either.
There you go. Are you taking the piss out of me, Green?
When you bought this, it does the hex nuts. Now I was thinking about you, Andrew, when I bought this.
Get off my golden nugget.
It can do all sorts of nuts, small or large. And Andrew, I was thinking about you when I bought this.
Well, the chat room's already going off to Aldi, so stuff the lot of you.
I remember the podcast title of that. It was called Andrew's Plastic Nuts.
There's the title. And you'd be pleased to know, Andrew, that when I was thinking of you, I was thinking of the technology glam, I wasn't getting wood.
No. Unlike the lady with the wooden iPad that we didn't talk about.
We did talk about her. We mentioned her at the start. Weren't you here? She was one of the... Guess what's happened this week?
We said you mentioned her. Yes.
Well, the stupid cow bought a piece of wood in a car park thinking it was an electronic device. I mean, you wouldn't unwrap it and have a go. Come on. Is that really newsworthy? A sheep would have taken more consideration of what they were purchasing. It was poor. Anything else you want to talk about? No?
Go on. When I was younger, so talking about that, it's the worst chat-up line from a woman I've ever heard. I met her later, and she said, "I was thinking about you in the bath." I didn't know quite what to say or what to think, but I'll leave it at that. Is that the same sort of thing with you or not?
Well, what was she thinking about you in the bath? That she'd like to have your head under the water?
Well, I've absolutely no idea. I never got the chance to... I never got the chance to find out.
No, I was talking about drowning you, mate. Nothing else. Don't get excited.
What happened to her?
She drowned.
Can I change my pick?
Oh, go on, why?
I'd like to do Viber now. Haytel sucks.
Really? Have you just tried Haytel and it didn't work?
No. It's not that I just didn't know anything about Viber, and now I'm looking at it. And not only is it free, it's better.
See what you get about instant reviews. You mark my words. Parallel 7, Steve. You'll be saying it's a pile of toot in a week's time. There you go. Don't do instant reviews. They don't work.
It wasn't instant. I've had 4 days with it. And now I'm good. No. I like this better. This is better.
You still haven't used that? That's an instant review that doesn't work. See, instant reviews, they don't work. Last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They're a fantastic bunch. They look after us. They're picking up all our bandwidth, and they're giving us loads and loads of stuff. There'll be a competition, I think, next month, if we can get it worked out in time, with links and things like that you need to click through on the website. If you want to use their services, please do so, because they are supporting us, so supporting them supports us. But in order to do that, you've got to do something very specific. Go to our website, bageltechnews.com, scroll yourself down until you see the UK2.net logo there, and it says BagelTech is powered by. Click on that logo and it'll take you through to UK2's website. Have a browse around. They'll know that we send you, even if you just want to sign into your account because you're a returning customer, please use that link. And then also, if you want to buy stuff, you can buy a whole pile of things, VPS servers, co-location services, dedicated servers, whatever you want. When you go to checkout, use the offer code BagelTech, and the offer code BagelTech will get you 15% off whatever you've purchased. Or if you're transferring all your stuff in and you want them to host your existing domain, there's a DNS management charge that goes along with that, which you don't have to pay because you're a BagelTech listener. So if you type in the offer code BagelDNS, it'll remove the DNS management charge off your bill as well. So you'll pay your reduced fee only, and that's it. Please support UK2.net. We would be utterly lost without them. Now we're going to video as well. The bandwidth is going to go vertical. But we've told them, and they are prepared. The only thing that we've got as a bit of an issue is that we can't have two-hour shows or anything because we've got a 500 gig limit on the video, 500 meg limit on the video upload. So we'll have to see. There we go. Steve wanted to move 40 sites over to them, but they couldn't help you. Oh, no. Talk to me afterwards, mate, and I'll put you in touch with the bloke who can definitely help you. Don't worry about that. They'll definitely take you 40 sites. Don't worry. We've also got no competition this month. We'll have another one next month. But if you would like to support BagelTech, you can go and buy yourself some shirts from bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk. There's a whole pile of Mac shirts, photo shirts, Big Show shirts, cups and mugs and that kind of stuff. They're really nice quality shirts. I'm wearing one myself today. All the messages that you can want on there are on there. If you want a specific one, a custom one, send me the text and I'll create the shirt for you, and then you can go and buy it. Anything you like, even if it's rude, don't worry about it. And when you buy a shirt from there, we get £5, so it goes towards the video equipment and cameras and that kind of stuff. We've done the video machine. Next thing we need now is some cameras, and we've had a few donations already from people buying shirts. Thank you very, very much. And also, please do give us reviews and stuff like that in iTunes, because that makes a huge difference as well. And tons of people this week have left a review. It really does make a big difference to the standings that we've got in the iTunes store. And last but by no means least, please, if you can, go and vote for us. Go to our website, bageltechnews.com. look at the logos that are there and vote for us for the European Podcast Awards. That's running until the end of November, so there's plenty of clicking to be done. Your thumb should be sore by the end of November, but at the end of November it'll stop and you'll get time off for Christmas. And if we win, I promise to buy every Bagel Tech listener a beer at the Bash next year. There you go. How's that? I bought them all this year. I'm only going to buy one next year, though. Right. Anything else to add, chaps? Or are we done?
It's your show.
I'm not like... Don't make me out to be a dictator, Swagger. I'm not. It's not quite a democracy, but it's not a dictatorship. Just like Apple. I tell you what, mate. If your source inside Apple's wrong next month, the ribbing could
I'll
be
kill
bad.
Him. Don't worry about it. I'll kill him. He's somewhat family, so I'll kill him.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of narrows it down in the search for the Apple police, so I'd watch out, mate.
No, it doesn't narrow it down.
Has he got a different surname?
Yes.
What is it?
I got to tell you.
Don't tell him your name, Pike. Don, where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com or on Twitter as Don McAllister.
And trying a new application called FlashyCam.
Is it flashy again?
It's
now,
all over the place. It's not you, though. It's me. It's definitely Desktop Presenter that's doing that. So I do apologise, mate. Well, you've suffered audio and video problems there for the last 3 weeks.
It's just me, isn't it?
It's not you. It's the. It's definitely me. We'll sort it. Don't worry. No Carl, worries. Where can we get hold of you?
After the show, probably 6 feet under. But before that, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger at kyleswagger.com.
Joining in the photo show in another half hour's time as well. Fun packed stuff. Yes. Andrew. Where are you coming at us from?
On Twitter, at Dr. Happy Mac, Dr. Happy Mac. That's me. Yes, that's the deal. Give it a follow.
And if you want your computer fixed in the Oxfordshire, Cirencester, Home Counties areas, then call you.
Yes. Go and have a toddle over to www.drhappymac.co.uk. And even if you don't live in the Cotswolds, you can look on the internet stuff and you can buy parts and all the bits and ship your computer off to me, etc., etc. So you might leave, you know, maybe you're in Liverpool and a bit of your computer's been nicked and you can send it off to me.
There was no need for that.
Oh.
What on earth? Don is going to be round, mate. You're going to wake up dead tomorrow. You're in trouble. apparently, as well, Steve's suggesting in the chat room that I need to change your lower third next week to Dr. Haircut Mac.
Yeah,
now you're getting it done that we're on video.
Yeah, I'm going to do something with the hair for next week. It is shameful. Shameful hair.
Well, you haven't got very much of it, though, so what the hell are you going to do, mate?
It does. No, every 2 weeks I have it cut because it grows really, really long and stuff.
Beehive will
be that.
Hair has a probability of doing that. Yeah, I grant you, but you've got it shaved back to the wood at the minute, though. So, and Will, where can we get you, pal?
I think that was lovely. If you listen back, yeah, you can get me. The name's Dr. Happy Mac.
Bloody must, God.
Yeah, my name's Happy Mac.
Should I put his lower third in inverted commas? Happy's going to be in inverted commas next week.
Yes. Oh, it's lovely.
Cyber Paul in the chat room wants you to take your wife's hairpiece and send it to Andrew so he can wear it next week. I think that's an absolute must. No question. Oh. Dr. Suicidal Man.
That's great, Russ.
Greeny, oh, where can we get you, pal?
BritishMac.com. BritishMac.com.
Right, and Alex isn't on the photo show today, so you can stay and do the photo show if you want.
I've got to do my own British Mac because my life is changing a little bit. I've got a long... ish contract, and
have you definitely got it today then?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Man,
I can't say anything, but I'm going to be working for ITN for the next up until Christmas, maybe a bit more, and so it's quite an exciting project. So it means I won't be on this for the sort of up until Christmas, but if you'll have me back after Christmas, I'd...
Oh, yeah, no, of course, it's yours, mate. But can we not do a 3G dial-in or lunch hour or...
To be honest, I don't know at this point. I don't know how.
Well, we'll
work
suss it out, mate.
Yeah. But it doesn't. Obviously, British Mac is that will keep on going. I won't stop that. The nice thing, see, with this podcast, it's at a certain time that suits everybody, and that's tricky for me. Whereas the British Mac podcast, I can sort of fit around my working day and even do it in the evening or the weekend, even. So that's not a problem. But it's the when you do them live, I'm going to struggle.
Well, we'll see if we can work some out, perhaps. Just let us know what happens first, and then we'll go from there. We won't say never, never already.
Well, I'm not being funny. They're talking about the new Terry Wogan.
Hey? Who's the new Terry Wogan?
I am.
You?
No, not really.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. Well, I've got the toupee, haven't I?
Can you do a Terry Wogan impression for us, mate?
No, I'll tell you, that's got to be the hardest impression in the world, isn't it?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so.
I'll stick to my Don McAllister. It's the only one I can do, and I'm very happy with it.
That's questionable, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, I've done it enough times. Shall I go out on a high one last time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello, this is Don McAllister. What a lot. So there it is. Thank you, and goodbye.
We'll find a way, mate. We'll find where there's a will, there's a way. There we go. We'll get you on somehow. Even if it's just a recorded session of that, that'll do.
Yeah, that's perfect. I want that as a ringtone or something.
Well, you can do it. It's quiet there. The audio's quiet. I can get rid of the laughing because you're on a separate channel. I'll there you go. I'll put it on the website as a downloadable audio file. There we go.
That's my new message tone.
It's crap, but it's funny, says Russ. Yes, that's about it. We'll be back again next week with Bagel Tech Mac as normal. We've got the photo show coming up in half an hour, so stick around for that if you want to, and we'll answer your photo questions and do the photo news, and there's quite a bit because there's tons of stuff that come out of IFA. Hopefully there'll be more Apple news next week because we've had a good week this week and we've been able to talk about it. Daily Show's going to be here Monday, Wednesday and Friday next week, and if the news keeps going, then I think we might be going back to Daily Show might actually be on a daily basis. We'll have to wait and see. Have a great weekend. See you soon. Thanks for coming.